Please explain. Please explain.
Welcome to Please Explain, as we look into complex financial concepts that have been floating around the news. This week we'll be exploring the world of sovereign risk. Sovereign risk, also known as country risk, refers to how risky it is to invest or lend in a nation due to several factors such as an unstable political climate. Countries such as Venezuela, which is experiencing a presidential crisis, have high sovereign risk, while nations such as Norway or Switzerland are considered safe countries to invest in and therefore have low sovereign risk. Adani has recently expressed concerns that a possible Labour government could create sovereign risk and therefore make Australia less of a safe investment. I asked Dr. Giovanni Deletto, a lecturer in International Business and Economics at Monash University, what else could create sovereign risk.
So Australia is one of the handful of countries in the world that actually has the lowest risk in sovereign risk, because it's deemed to be by foreign investors as a very safe country and stable in terms of the application of rule of law and also not overturning policy at every turn of government. So in terms of foreign investment. So, of course, you could say that there are two levels in which you can see this. So there is a bit more the technical definition of what sovereign risk is in a market. That's where, you know, it really looks at the more extreme cases in which there are sudden nationalizations of, for example, commodity markets and resources. And there's only been a few handful in the recent history, so I'd say in the last 50 years. But, of course, for countries like Australia, is very much a stretch to talk about sovereign risk. And of course, we could say that certain policy pronunciations or certain legislative changes might dent somehow or somewhat on the confidence of foreign investors in further investing in Australia. But that's not really facing a sovereign risk as a default, but rather maybe putting a hindrance, some encumbrance in terms of the ease of foreign investments into Australia.
According to statistics, Singapore has the least sovereign risk in the world, and you've mentioned that Australia already has pretty low sovereign risk. But what can the Australian government do to match the low levels of sovereign risk of Singapore?
Of course, I think that the golden rule of, if you consider this from the point of view of the foreign investors, regardless of the impact certain policies might have on the domestic economy of a given country, of course, the golden rule on the investor side is that any government should not turn policies pretty much without respecting the law, the legislative framework, and or too sudden, and also it should not introduce retroactive laws that can strip out of investing rights and or even worse, property rights for investors.
The United States is seen as one of the major economic powerhouses of the world, but yet they have not made the list of top 10 nations with the least sovereign risk. How could the US have more sovereign risk than Australia?
That's not just because of the recent turnaround since the Trump administration took office, but of course the US has been traditionally more inclined to use national security clauses to a far greater extent than other countries. And also because it's a consideration of the, you know, the major power geopolitical clout that the US clearly has. The power might sound counterintuitive, but the enormous power that the US government has on foreign countries might have a negative impact on the confidence of foreign investors into the US.
How can sovereign risk be calculated?
That's the million-dollar question. Public policy experts have been trying to address this question for decades now, and there is no clear definition of it, not even a clear definition of what is a sovereign risk, because you can have a political economy definition, you can have a legal definition, you can have a purely geopolitical definition. So there's a number of somehow vague definitions of what sovereign risk is in first place. I don't think it's possible to quantify it or to assess it with clear parameters. It's about the consensus of the global investment industry. It's left to the normative framework of major international institutions like the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, these kind of major institutions.